Well, I'm one of those teachers that has the countdown. And our mission after the standardized testing this last week has been to keep the duct tape away from my fifth graders because they duct tape teachers literally to the wall sometimes. But I want to, before we turn our thoughts to communion, I do want to thank share my heart. Teaching is my second career. I started 4 years ago. I wanted my last career to be my best ministry. I've served as a police officer, a minister, and I really believe this is my greatest moment. God led me to Bagot Elementary School. It was a new school 4 years ago. We have a wonderful principal, a veteran principal that chose to open that school for a reason. Most schools in elementary in Gwinnett County have 800 to 900 kids. We have 1,200 kids. We serve pre-K through fifth grade, and they're some of the poorest of the poor. We have mental health issues. We have homeless kids. We have kids that have no family structure, whose parents do things I can't even share. And they come to us for 180 days. I'm their father. I'm their coach. I'm the one who helps to raise those kids. I teach them math, social studies, science. I teach them to read, to write, and send them off. And we've ended our fourth year. It's a Title I school. There's a lot of Title I schools, but this, to be Title I, you've got to have a certain income to qualify for free or reduced breakfast and lunches. About 84% of our kids and their families qualify. And the ones that don't are very close. And they always have a debt. And every Friday, we get the balance to send home that you owe this much money for the food. And I throw it in the trash can. No one knows that. I throw it in the trash can because they shouldn't have to deal with that. So before this morning, I just want to thank you. I don't know whose idea it was to take up a contribution in April to take care of those balances. And I think it was supposed to cover my class. It ended up covering 3/4 of our total population, and then another family came forward and finished it up, and they're doing pre-K through fifth grade. And I'm telling you, it just blew people away. My cafeteria manager is not an emotional woman. She met me at the end of the day at recess as my kids were coming in getting ready for bus call with one of my assistant principals and just bouncing off the wall with an envelope full of cash. And that's what she told me. She said, "Your church gave us money to pay off the debt." And I can't thank you enough. As we look at the cross, I want to share my story. We all have a story. And as I'm getting older, I'm 62, but I've thought I want to write an autobiography for my kids, for my grandkids, for my great-grandkids that I've not even met. And I want to do that to help them to see my life and to see what God has done in my life. And the kids I don't even know were my future legacy. I want them to see their grandpa and to be able to see his weaknesses, his strengths, but to see how God loved him and God blessed him in his faith. And so somehow maybe to connect them to God. In Romans 5, I love the song we just sang because Romans 5 says, you see, at just the right time when you were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will a good man die, or anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God, the Father, demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And in 1 Peter, I'm breaking into the context, talking to Christians. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from this empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers. But you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and a lamb without defect. My story begins with my mother, who was age 16 and got pregnant with me. She was poor. My dad was poor. They ended up getting married. My brother and two sisters would follow. My earliest memories as a kid was listening to them yelling and arguing in the middle of the night. Words like divorce and throwing in the towel. And you can imagine the insecurity and the fear that was beginning to form in my young spirit. And in fourth grade, and I look back now and I see it was the way to cope. In fourth grade, I began to pour myself into athletics. I was good and I was encouraged with that. I did football, then I went to basketball, then I went to baseball, then I did summer baseball, and I continued that progression through high school. At early high school, I did 5 sports. Also in fourth grade, I was elected to student council for the first time. Again, I was encouraged with that. And I poured myself into student government all the way through high school. I was elected class president or student body president all through high school. It was a large high school in Phoenix and Mesa, Arizona. And this time of year, it was the awards assembly, and I was given the all-school award, a big trophy. We still have half of it still. Kathy puts remote controls in it now, so that's what it's her. No respect. But I remember leading my class of 926 students out that auditorium. That would be the last time I was with them except for our graduation. And I remember the fear and the insecurity and the emptiness. Within a couple of months, I moved out to neighboring Tempe, Arizona, near Arizona State University, with some of the guys that had a house. And my dad left my mom for a younger woman, and they divorced. The emptiness, the insecurity, the fear was more than I could bear. I was 18. And I remember going to a Christian bookstore in Tempe, Arizona, to find a Bible that I could understand, because the Bible I had was one of the Old English, the King James. And I wasn't a reader, and I bought a Bible. I found a Bible I could read. And I remember hours and days and weeks, while the guys were out on dates or having fun doing other things and away from the house, I was in my room or in the house reading and reading and reading. And one of the first scriptures that I remembered reading was in Genesis 6. When God looked down on the earth, and all he saw was evil from all of us. And the Bible says his heart was grieved. He was grieving, and his heart was filled with pain. And all my view of God was power and the Creator. And for the first time, I could see God hurting and having a heart and having feelings. And I was going through a lot of the same things. And I remember that was the first time in my life at age 18 having a connection with God. I continued to read and continued to study, and it eventually led me to the cross and the crucifixion account. And I remember thinking as Jesus is hanging on the cross, why doesn't God, he's got the power, why doesn't he take him off the cross? And I remembered how he's filled with pain, but also he's filled with love for me. If he takes Jesus off the cross, then Jesus is back in heaven, but I'm left empty and lonely and hurting and lost. That was a first moment that the cross really hit me. And I looked at Jesus. He was filled with pain, not just his heart, but his body. And he had the power to get off, but why didn't he? Again, he loved me, and he persevered through the end. They saw the big picture. The big picture was to get me with them. And then I continued reading through the weeks and months, and I began to go through books like Acts and Acts 2 and Romans 6, and I started to see the response of people that to the cross and to that message, and I started to see how they were broken and they were hurting, and they made that connection and they were baptized. And I was baptized as a kid, but I didn't understand all that. And they were repenting, they were changing, they were making a commitment, like marriage. And I remember in Romans 6 reading that as they were going down in the water, being united with Christ in his death and his burial and coming up out of the water, his resurrection. And that God would then send his Spirit to fill that emptiness. I was 18, 19. I had no family. I had no roots. And God reached out. I'm 62 years old now. And before God is my witness, I have never, ever, ever regretted that decision as a 19-year-old. And my hope now is to be able to have my family, my future legacy, and my friends to be able to have what God has given me. That's the cross. That's our Father. You have a story. As we take the Lord's Supper, I want to encourage you to think about your story. Afterwards, we're going to have communion. We'll go to the tables. If you need an usher to bring it to you, please raise your hand and they'll be glad to bring it to you. Let's pray. Father, we can't even begin to thank you enough for what you've done in our lives. We know that the eternal life, it starts here, but it will transcend on the other side of eternity and blow our minds for what good things you have for us. Thank you so much for your love, going through, working through your sorrows and your grief, not turning it to anger as we would, but loving and keeping faithful to your plan to allow Jesus to die on a cross. Thank you for raising him from the dead and really giving us hope of a wonderful, wonderful future. It's in Jesus we pray. Amen.